Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. This is Mary, and I am so happy that you're here today. I hope you are having a peaceful day. That is the word of the day. I love that day, that word. And we're actually in the middle or starting the beginning of summer. And I hope that you have some fun plans. You know, rest and relaxation will do you good. And getting away from your desk and from online is going to do you so much good. You're going to feel so at peace. And today I am really excited about somebody that we're going to be talking to who's got that real chill kind of mood already down. He lives in Texas and he's been one of my clients for a while. And I'm really excited to introduce Jay Young to you because there are people that you meet in life that you know just have it all together. And Jay Young is one of those people. Jay is the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, How the New Model Works and Why It Puts the Traditional Model to Shame. He's also Jay Young of The Jay Young Show. He's got a phenomenal podcast. And I'm just really excited. Jay, thank you so much for being here on the radio show on Salem. I'm so excited to dig in, not only to your business, really, but to your life. And just really honored that you're here today. So thank you so much.
Well, Mary, I appreciate that a lot. I tell you, I think that's one of the top three introductions I've ever had in my life. I mean, I don't know if I've had that many, but if I did have a lot, that would be on the very top, I guarantee you. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, you are the real deal, and I know your background and everything you've gone through to get to where you are today. It's really inspiring. So I kind of wanted to go through. I know we've got, you know, a lot of people are really interested about oil and gas now. And so I want to dig into that a little bit about what makes sense for people, how to do it. What are the things that you've learned as a person who owns a company that's in the oil and gas company? Your family has been in it forever. So take us back. I want people to know the man behind the scenes. How did you grow up? You're in Texas, but I know you have a long history. Tell us about your background and how you got into the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, great, Mary. I appreciate that. And I learned how to tell my stories because of Mary Gardner. I learned from the best.
Yeah.
So the stories you're getting ready to hear are stories that I came up with when I was in some of your classes, because they're just classic and you tell the story on how to tell stories.
That's right.
Being more effective. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do, so I guess your audience needs to write in and say, hey, I think Jay did a great job because of Mary Gardner.
Mary Gardner
did a great job, whatever. But no, I grew up in the oil business. I'm a fourth-generation oil and gas guy. Mm-hmm. My grandparents, great-grandparents had 12 kids.
Oh, wow.
And they were all in the oil business. I mean, it's like if you're a man, you're married to somebody – You're in the oil business. If you're a woman, you're married to somebody in the oil business. I mean, literally the whole time. And then when I was growing up with my grandfather, as soon as I was tall enough to drive the 3-speed on the column pickup truck, if some of you remember that, some of you have never driven a standard.
Yeah.
Some of you don't even know what a standard transmission is. But I grew up, in the sixth, and we grew up in, taking care of my grandfather's wells that he had to take care of, and it's just remarkable about what it's in your blood. I mean, when I started thinking about my career path, I started thinking about what would I like to do, and then when I go out to the oil fields, I'm like, well, this feels good, and this feels like at home, and it's very, very, very familiar, very familiar to me. So it was great growing up in the oil field.
Yeah, you said both of your grandfathers were in it. Your whole family was in it. I mean, we have, the early look, or a lot of us look at Landman and see it's a wild, wild west. You know, the people are just really, it's a tough business. I mean, you make it look so graceful and so easy, but really, I mean, the business has been, it's hard. It's, unless you really do grow up in it, there's so many nuances, I would guess. But what fascinates you about the oil and gas business? Is it the cowboy boots that you get to wear, the whole country thing, or is it the money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, riding around with a cowboy hat on and trying to figure out where to park my horse. you know, here in downtown Dallas. You know, not everybody has a stable, or everybody, you know, you don't know where to feed them, or where your horse is going to poop next. You know, so but we have a lot of problems. We do have. There is. You're exactly right. There is a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We don't drive our horses to work and stuff. But I think the most important thing about, you know, the oil and gas business is a lot of your audience, you know, knows a lot about, or they've probably had some dealings with an oil and gas project.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gets into our story. You know, we've been in business 30 years. This year will be our 30th anniversary.
Mm.
And we did it the retail way for the long time, where we call people up on the phone, hey, do you want to invest in this well? And, and you know, there's an incredible chance that you will not get all your money back, if any money back, on that kind of a project and that kind of a business model, if you will, because that's just the way those kind of prospects are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people lost a lot of money on the retail side, which is the majority of our business was, you know, retail until the last few years. And then I started studying guys like, you know, Ken Hirsch of NGP, David Miller, Murphy Markham at NCAP, Billy Quinn at Pearl. These guys made their clients billions of dollars and made a lot of money for themselves too. I mean, it's fascinating how these guys made money for themselves and their clients. And I started studying that and thinking about it. And so we brought that out to the retail market, because a lot of accredited investors, you know, like your listeners, they want to invest in oil and gas.
Yeah.
They think it's fascinating. They want to get in with J.R. Ewing or Billy Bob Thornton, or they want to say, yeah, well, we're invested in this oil well or whatever. And here's my check from last month, you know, and they love the tax benefits. But the problem is the way it's like my book says, you know, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, and you know, it says how the new model works and how it puts the traditional model to shame. And that's exactly right, because, you know, you can't go out there and look for prospects and just think, okay, I'm going to find a prospect, I'm going to raise some money, I'm going to go drill the wells, and clients are going to make a ton of money. That's just not what happens. So we redesigned it, reformatted our business model after these private equity guys, for the accredited investor guys, women. You know, we raise a tremendous amount of capital every year. We're doing really, really well with our clients, and our funds today are doing better than they were before. And you know, a few years ago, oil prices went down a lot.
Right.
You know, during the pandemic, and we with this model, we still gave clients back. It was before the pandemic, but the prices went down, and we still get clients back 131% in like a year.
Because we
acquired prospects and developed them and sold them in a very fast time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our new model. That's how we do it. It's a long process. You know, clients can get in today, you know, this year, and get tax benefits, begin getting that monthly revenue, but they also get, you know, a multiple, because we look to acquire assets and divest them in a shorter amount of time than what other models have decided to do. It's just an easier way for us to not think about, you know, what are oil and gas prices going to do for the year. You don't know from one year to the next. Well, if we can just, you know, acquire assets, drill them, and then look to sell them by the end of every year, we look to get a good multiple for our client.
It's a lot. You know, you weren't joking at the top of the hour when you were kind of making fun, because here in Florida, I think everybody looks at oil and gas like it's kind of like Hollywood. It's exclusive. Mm-hmm. It's something high end. It's something that we see on TV, or maybe it's in our 401k or something like that. But to actually get to talk to somebody who's in the oil and gas industry, who can actually invest your money, you know, it is really special. What I'd love to do too is to dig in a little bit about the business. Like, how does that work? How would a person, what would they expect? Do they have requirements? What kind of people can invest? Can normal people invest? Or is it something that's high exclusive? I want them to also understand who you are. You have a personal story that is just phenomenal, just about how you grew up and how you became such a, you were weathered, you were seasoned, you have been tried, and you've come to a place of just total integrity. You've changed your life. And so I really want people to understand, you know, who you are and what you've gone through to get to where you are. The backstory sometimes is extraordinarily interesting. We just have about a minute and a half, but what has this success cost you? And give me just a couple of lines. What has it cost you to get to this point where you are being successful for your clients?
Well, that's a good question. Not a lot of time to explain that whole scenario there, but I tell you what, I mean, I you know, honor my faith, you know, my family and my friends, and I feel like that, you know what, I want to do the right thing for the investor, and a lot of promoters out there, all they care about is themselves and trying to get through one prospect to the next. And, you know, if you go on our website and you say, I heard Jay on the Mary Gardner Show, I'd love to send you an autographed copy of my book.
I love it.
Because I feel like that's a really great way for you to learn to invest.
Yes.
And we're not in a hurry. Just you know, go on there, do it. And, you know, the next 5 or 10 people, well, I'll say the next 10 people, Mary, because, you know, I want people to make sure that they do it today.
I love it.
You do it today, I'll send you an autographed copy of my book. You can learn more about what we do and how we do it.
We're not signing off. We're talking to Jay Young, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. Go ahead and email me at mary@marygardner.com. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll take a minute with our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Jay Young.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. And we are having a serious, interesting, fun conversation today with Jay Young, who's the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, How the New Model Works and Why It Puts the Traditional Model to Shame. Now, here's the story. I bring a lot of people to you that have deep success. They have leadership tendencies. They're entrepreneurial. They've written books, TED Talks. Well, Jay Young has done all of the above. And so he's one of those guys that is quietly multi-successful. And so he's got a lot to teach us today. One of the things that I know about Jay is that early on in his life, he stumbled a little bit. Do you want to share a little bit about how you came to the place where you realized you had to give up alcohol?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've already consumed a lifetime of alcohol, I guarantee you. You know, just you know, I mean, the old business, I mean, you know, that's kind of the way people do business. Is we'd meet on the well and bring out a fifth of Jack Daniels or go to the bars and talk about old business. And and it was kind of weird. And I thought, man, there's no way that you can't drink and be in this business.
Yeah.
But you know what? I decided, you know, 30-something years ago, I think it's 31 or 32.
Wow.
But over 30. But I decided I'm just not going to drink. I mean, and it's no big deal. I mean, everybody knows that I don't drink, but it's really cloudy. And I think about you know, when somebody says, what would you tell your 19-year-old self?
Yeah.
I say, well, hey, join a Bible church, join a Bible class, you know, a smaller class. Mm-hmm. And also don't drink alcohol. You know, I mean, there's, and especially like me. Now, my wife can drink a glass of wine, and she's fine, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, now that's not me. I mean, that was not me. I mean, that was like, if I had my first one, I mean, if I don't have one, I'm okay. But if I have one, it's going to lead to two, which is going to lead to 10. Yeah. You know, so I used to have friends that couldn't wait till I had the second one or the third one because they knew at that point, man, it's we're going to go out tonight. And
oh my gosh,
you know, but it's just not good, and it's not good. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for my being having a clear head, and it was just. I wish somebody would have knocked me off of that a long time ago, I know that people try to, you know, and I remember, you know, getting DWIs back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. This is a long time ago. And fortunately, it was before everybody knew everything about the whole state of Texas, because I got DWIs that nobody knows about because it was in such small towns.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, and just thinking, man, but I wish somebody would have sat me down and really looked at me and said, you just can't drink. You just cannot have a drink. And I remember in treatment, there was a guy there that told me that. He said, you know what? Don't try to think that you can stop.
Okay.
You can't.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Alcohol can never touch your lips, and it just never can. And if it does, you're going to go back to drinking. And I tried to prove him wrong, and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I had to get sober once again. But I think some people just have a misnomer about that kind of life. And it's not a good kind of life. There's nothing good comes out of it. And I love the idea that helping other people or helping some other people with that same trait that I have of just they just can't stop.
Yeah. I think it's a big deal in our society now. A lot of the younger people are not drinking. My son drinks nothing. He was for a while, and then he made a decision. If he wanted to be a better business person and more successful, he knew he had to be a better man. And so he had to make tough decisions, and giving up alcohol was one of them, and working out and doing all the things he added to the table. What do you think that it's given you, given back that time that you probably wasted? What has it given you back, or given you, what kind of life has it given you when you have made the choices not to drink, not to do something, a bad habit for yourself?
Yeah. Great question. I think it's just more clarity, and I think you spend a lot more time, you know, on the subject at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like some people that grow up faster, and I tell, you know, men, young men, grow up, man, grow up as fast as you can. Okay, you're in college. Okay, you're in a fraternity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, when you get out, just recognize at that point, you need to grow up. You need to, you know, not go to the bars, not, you know, do all these different crazy things that you're just wasting your time. And you think that's a lot of, that's you're not working very much because your head's either, you know, in football or all the different things outside extracurricular activities, which I was really, really good at extracurricular activities when I was growing up. And even when I was drinking, and I'm like, you know, and that's why I wasn't very successful for the first, you know, 20 years or so of my career. It's like, maybe not 20, 15, 10, 15, but it's like that wasted time there that you just kind of, I didn't really learn a lot. You don't really understand a lot. You don't ask questions, you know, because you're on your own path. And I'm 63 now. And so I sobered when I was 30. So I guess my first until I was 30 or something, because after I got sober, I really started thinking about, okay, now I have a lot more time on my hands, because, you know, when you're drinking, number one, and number two, you're recovering, you know, for the next morning. And how does that work? I mean, that didn't work very good. And so I'm like, you have a lot more time to spend on the task at hand, or the we want to help people. How can I help people? How can I help other people? And how can I need to go through my business and see exactly what do I need to do to get and to be more successful? What do I need to, how can I help more people? Cause I know it's like Zig Ziglar said, you know, which is I don't know how many people have heard Zig Ziglar, but he is, you know, went to the same church at different times, but he went to Prestonwood.
Cool.
But he, I met him a couple of times. I never was in his Bible class. I wish I was, but I wasn't. And he was there before I got there. But, you know, a lot of people in the church, you know, talk about him all the time. Oh. But he said that you can get anything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. And, and I really truly believe that. You can get 100% of something, or you can you know, get, if you train five people and they get 80, you get 80% of what you could get. Let's say they get 60% of what you could do.
Yeah.
But you got five people, that's times 60, that's 300 times what you could do alone.
Yeah.
So you just have to train other people to do what you're doing, and you can help other people because other people want a good job, they want a good foundation, they want a good place to go.
Right.
And that's what we want to do, is build that culture around here.
Yeah.
Where people do want to come to work and they see the fruits of what they're delivering, whether it's on the capital raising side with a few of our guys, or if it's on the engineering staff or geology. I mean, oil and gas is fascinating, and it's fascinating from the stance of geology. Okay, where do we drill? Why do we drill there? There's the optimist, and I'll tell you a little bit about how the oil and gas works, but it's like geology is the first person that looks for prospects. They're out there looking at prospects. And then you have your engineer, that's the person that comes back and says, well, I don't know if you're going to hit or not, or why do you think you're going to hit, or they're pessimists.
Yeah.
In the deal. And they look at it and go, well, but even if you do hit, how much oil are you going to make? And at $70 a barrel, you got to make at least, you know, X number of barrel. You know, they're kind of the positive. It's like the husband-wife relationship. You know, it's like the husband, like me, is always the optimist and always the, yeah, we're going to do this. My wife's always like, well, wait a minute, I don't think so.
It's just keeping you in
line. We don't need to spend money there. We don't need to, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So it's kind of that relationship between geologists and engineers. And if they don't work out, the geologist always blames the engineer, and the engineer always blames the geologist, you know, in that relationship.
It sounds like a technology business. Yeah, the sales and the technology, they're always blaming each other. It does sound like that you are so focused on the business now. And I'm wondering, I mean, you gave up something that was really quite fun because you were probably a party boy and all that kind of stuff. And now you've dived into your business in such a way that's such a heart. I know that you bring heart to your business, and you're talking about your team. Also, one of the things I noticed about you is that you invest so much in people. And what has that given you the ability now to focus in on? Are you getting the same kind of high that you got maybe when you were partying a lot, when you invest in other people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is. And to see the growth of other people, and to bring in somebody that, you know, that didn't have the opportunity somewhere else, and give them, an opportunity here at King Operating. And I just think it's really great. And to see how we can grow. We've gone from, not having very much production at all to having, 2,500 barrels a day. We're going to have probably 4,500, 5,000 barrels a day,
wow,
in the next few months after we frack some of these wells. That's really great cash flow, and it's great for not only just the employees, but it's also the investors, because you look at, our assets and what we're doing here with the geologists and the engineers. And once they both sign off on it, you got to go to your land man, your Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah.
To go find the leases, to go find the land to do it, or make the deal with the landowners, you have that's the asset. And then you have the team of people it takes to drill and operate. And then you have the strategy or the capital to put together. And, it's like, I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner.
Wait.
Well, I know why, but
hold on.
I wish I
Jay, let's take a break right there, because we got to go to a break right now. But that's what I want to get into in the next segment. We're talking to Jay Young of The Jay Young Show. It's a podcast. He interviews lots of CEOs and executives like himself, and he's the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. We're going to take a quick break with The Mary Gardner Show, and we'll be right back.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm sitting here talking to Jay Young. He's the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which might be a great opportunity for you if you're in the Central Florida area or if you're around the country and listening on theanswerorlando.com. It would be a great opportunity for you to have some time with someone on Jay Young's his company. It's King Operating. We can put you in touch directly. And he's also offered any of you who write in to Mary at marygardner.com a free book, a signed autograph book, to learn about the new model of investing in oil and gas. So, Jay, I wanted to visit that. You were giving us kind of a rundown of the different people in the industry or in your companies and the requirements that people are having. I know that people are interested in oil and gas, and we're hearing so much about it right now. The Middle East, they control oil prices. We hear about how it affects everything from groceries to airline tickets. Why should an American care about oil and gas? And then why should they want to get involved with it?
Yeah, great questions. And I'll say this, that when people hear about oil and gas, or they think about, you know, how can you save, you know the investment in oil and gas is 100% write-off. So you can write it off literally like 70, or I'd say 80, 90% the first year of your investment. So you can write it off against your adjusted gross income. That's huge. That is very huge. Mm. You take that with you know, somebody calling you on the phone and saying, oh, yeah, well, hey, you'll be the next J.R. Ewing, Billy Bob Thornton. You know, if you invest in oil and gas, and people write checks all day long, and that's just that type of model with where people are, you know, I mean, 20%, 30% of the people don't even get their money back. I mean, not their 100% of their money back, 100%. So it's just a problem with what and how people invest in oil and gas. And so I'll say this, a lot of people are, you know, they're enamored, or they mm-hmm. love the idea of mm-hmm. investing in oil and gas, and they listen to somebody that calls them on the phone, and they go, yeah, oh, hey, you know, I've got this is a 3-to-1, 10-to-1. It's a lead pipe cinch. I mean, we've done that before in our previous years, and that's how we promoted our project. But then we found a new way to do it. That's why I wrote the book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which I've mentioned, and you've mentioned, Mary. And you go on the website, say, I heard you on the Mary Gardner Show, and I'll send you an autographed copy of that book. Or if you go to Mary at marygardner.com, you can also get one there. And it's a fascinating business, and it's real. There is really a lot of ways to make money. And when I first heard of these guys, mm-hmm. You know, I started talking to Ken Hirsch and Billy Quinn, these guys.
I don't know who they are.
I was a part owner. We are all part of the ownership group of the Texas Rangers, the baseball field.
Oh.
Baseball field. Major League Baseball, yeah.
Okay.
So we were part owners in this, they passed the hat, and there were some guys that were enamored or you know, wanted to know more about Nolan Ryan and all these guys.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, well, if we put in, I mean, we're a small owner in the Rangers, but we mm-hmm. were an owner along with Ken Hirsch and Billy Quinn. And people asked me, well, hey, I want to vet you to find out who you are. And I said, hey, look, Major League Baseball did that. You can't get anything past Major League Baseball.
Mm.
It was an incredible, you know, betting process. But anyway, but I started talking to Ken and Billy in here. This is, you know, 2010, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking to them about their model and what they did. And they were talking about, they would go to pension funds, or they'd go to retirement funds, all these different, you know, teachers. And they were getting money for oil and gas. And I'm like, how can you get money for oil and gas? You know, because how can you? Because they're going to be really ultra conservative. And they're saying, well, yeah, and we're also giving 30, 40% returns, you know, internal rate of returns to clients. And I'm like, how can you do that? I don't understand. So I started learning more, and I started thinking about the assets. It's different assets that we were going after. There's some higher risk projects, and there's some lower risk, but you use your special formula to make clients money, it's a lot easier. You don't take risks. You just use the simple formula that we have, and that's how you make clients money.
What's the formula? You give it away, or is it a special sauce that you can't tell?
No, it's not special sauce. I mean, yeah, and I'd love for every promoter out there to go to do it, because I hate that they're still out there. I know they can't. It takes us a lot of time to build it up. But it's like, you know, the first year we use equity. So we'll raise a $100 million fund, and we'll raise $100 million in equity. And then we'll go drill wells in a specific area that we know we're going to hit. We know we're going to produce oil.
Mm-hmm.
Some wells produce better than others. But there's, you know, 15 to 20 wells in this fund. And then we will take that to the bank and go, hey, okay, we want to, you know, we don't want much leverage, but we do want a little bit of leverage. And we'll take that and get a little bit of leverage, go drill some more wells inside the partnership, build it up, build up the value of the project. In the meantime, every year, we're going to have a sale. We're going to divest assets.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is every time we look at putting together or drilling a well, like we spud a well yesterday, and that means that we began drilling one of our wells up in the Panhandle yesterday, and we leased enough acreage to get to drill three wells.
Oh.
So we'll drill one well right in the middle, and then we'll leave those two offsetting locations for a company to come by later on and take advantage of us and give us more money than you know we spent. And that's where the special sauce comes in with clients.
Okay.
Because if we spend $6 to $7 million drilling that one well, clients get that write-off, number one. But also number two is we're creating value within that unit or that acreage position, or they call it a J unit. We call that a J unit.
Yeah.
And it's two locations, one on each side of these horizontal wells, and that creates value. So we create value to $15 to $20 million inside that unit. So every year we want to look to sell that. If we find the right buyer, we'll sell it. If not, we'll sell it next year. But we want to have that special, you know, that sell, that potential sell every year.
Wow.
You know, we'll have a sell every year. Whether or not we sell it or not, we don't know, because we don't know what the prices are going to be, or
okay,
somebody's
so going to
give us more money or whatever the case. But we want to give them the opportunity, or give somebody the opportunity to purchase this. And we'll go out to 1,000 people and with a teaser sheet and market the project. So we'll market it. So, you know, selling the project, using some debt, using some J unit sales every year. We are excited about this. We finally put everything together now so we can do this. So right now we're raising the equity portion of our project. And then at the end of this year, we'll do the J unit sales, the November, December.
So keeping in touch with you guys is going to be really important. And is it kind of like stocks? I mean, you guys, you have certain wells that you are investing in. And so the price will change, or is it always the same investment? How does that work for an investor? Are they have to be accredited,
yeah,
right? So they have to have $100,000 to start. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. $100,000. We have $200,000 units. They have to be accredited investor, which means they have a net worth of $1 million, or they make $200,000 more a year. And I mean, it's like you'll start receiving revenue immediately, well within the first couple of months. So we have a lot of momentum on this project we have right now. It's Fund 3, and Fund 1 and 2 are doing well, not as well as we should have. We took a lot of exploration in those two funds. Now we're not. We're drilling right in the middle of oil fields. So Fund 3 is different and better.
Okay.
You'll have income coming in a couple of months. And then you will be able to, you know, write off that investment this year. So if you do $100,000, you can, you know, write off $80,000, $90,000 this year, adjusted gross income. So
that's huge.
Very, very important that your CPA knows that you can write it off against your adjusted gross income.
Yeah.
And then, hopefully by the end of this year, we will have we're going to go to market, and if we do sell or not. But if we do sell, you'll get some money back from that. If not, you'll continue getting, you know, income. And our goal is like, you know, our goal, we've been doing about 10% or so, mm-hmm. and we'll continue on that, and it should get bigger as time goes on. Mm-hmm. That should increase, and our goal is to be between the 15 to 20% range by next year.
Wow, that sounds really good. So just to take it back, it's an accredited investor, which is $100,000 or $200,000 for the past couple of years, I think, of income, or $1 million net worth is what is required. And then they will call your company, King Operating, and they will spend time with one of your professionals, like Rachel Griffin, who is our friend, and be able to talk to you about the opportunities. And there are a couple of opportunities where they can invest. I'm right? It's a few opportunities? Or is it just the one?
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a couple of things. So we've been talking to Jay Young of The Jay Young Show, who is just an expert in the oil and gas industry. His heart is about helping you, wanting you to make a good investment. And I've known Jay for a few years, and he's very trustworthy, great guy, great company. They're coming up on the 30th anniversary. Congratulations. And Jay is the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which if you want to write me an email at mary@marygardner.com, we'll get it over to Jay. Send us your address, and he will send you a signed autograph of his book, which is great. And you can learn all about it. So we're listening to The Mary Gardner Show, and we're going to take a quick minute with our wonderful sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk to Jay Young of The Jay Young Show.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Today we are visiting with my friend Jay Young, who is the owner of King Operating Corporation and the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which he has said that he would love to send you a copy. So a free copy, actually, that's signed by him. So send me an email at mary@marygardner.com, and we'll get that over to him. And we've been talking to Jay about the business of investing, and he's shared with us a lot about the company and about him and his background and how he came to a place in his life where he really, truly started wanting to invest more in people. And as a result, his business has just blossomed. And we've been talking about the oil and gas industry, which is really extensive. It's a lot to learn, but it's so exciting. And Jay, one thing that I sense from you is that you are a trustworthy person. You're very open, talking to people about the good, the bad, the ugly. What makes, mm-hmm. in your estimation, a company trustworthy?
That's a great question, and I think it's you know, being open, being honest. You know, if you say one thing and do another, if you're not, you know, transparent. I was thinking about transparency. Obviously, you know, that's something that we are. And hey, you know what? We tell you up front. Sometimes people look and they go, "Well, I thought you told us this," and we say, "Well, we wouldn't." I know that. I mean, it's like. People say, "Well, Jay, you said this," and I go, "No, you know what? I would never. Mm-hmm. I would never say that."
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you had a gun to my head or something, maybe, but I haven't had a gun to my head ever, so I'm okay with saying that. You know, things that I know that I would say, or things that I wouldn't say, or mm-hmm. or the way we teach our guys that talk to people on the phones, you mm-hmm. know, about raising capital, and mm-hmm. and we say, "Hey, you know what? It's a risky business." We take a lot of the risk out of it, mm-hmm. which is great, because we drill in areas that are not, you know, but if the Strait of Hormuz comes open and there's more oil that comes out of that thing than we thought, and oil prices go to $20 a barrel, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to have a problem. We will have a problem if oil goes to $20 a barrel. But other than that, I don't see oil going to 20. I don't see oil really going down below, you know, 60, 65, because when, mm-hmm. when we start doing the math and we see what's happening 2-3 months from now, I feel like oil prices are going to go straight back up.
Do you think that the war is impacting it? Is the war in the Middle East?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on like probably 5 to 10 radio shows or TV. I've done, you know, mm-hmm. NBC and mm-hmm. Newsmax. I'm a, mm-hmm. I'm a normal contributing, on to Newsmax, and you know, they you know, I just feel like that with a lot of the Persian Gulf War oil that were production that was shut off.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of that shut off. You have a lot of bombs that were hitting, you know, refineries all over the country, everywhere. And with a lot of that oil, you know, we need about 102 million barrels a day around the world. And we got down to below 85, 90. And there was a huge shortage. And a lot of the strategic reserves, because not only are we the only ones that have strategic reserves, everybody has, every country has strategic reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all going to zero, you know, because of this. And Trump just threw something out there and said, hey, I think he threw a Hail Mary, in my opinion, because mm-hmm. if he didn't, you would see the economy tank because of the price of oil and what was getting ready to happen to inflation, interest rates, and also the price of oil was getting ready to go to 150 if he didn't do this. And hopefully this will, wow. I mean, this is definitely a bet by Donald Trump, but
yeah,
but it's probably not his worst one. And it's working out so far.
Let's
see what happens.
I know thing that probably changes it is AI. How has AI changed oil exploration and the industry?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. A big thing is data. There's so much data in different wells. It's like in one county that we're drilling in Texas, there's been 7,000 wells that have been drilled in that one county. 7,000 wells over the time. So if we could dump every bit of that information into AI, let's mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. then it, instead of and we have questions, you know, we have questions like, you know, hey, what formations are the most prolific?
Mm-hmm.
What gets the most production?
Mm-hmm.
How much money did it cost them to drill these wells? What kind of completions did they do on these wells? How long were the laterals? You know, when were they drilled? Did they stay in formation? There's just so many different questions that you can ask on the top of your head, and you want to know that information. But then you know, today, or I'll say 5 years ago, you know, because we've downloaded a lot of our information into another database, computer database. But before, it was like you'd have these older gentlemen, and that would go to these boxes that were in the storage or something, and they would try to pull this information out.
Oh yeah, that's changed that completely, right?
Oh, man. So different. So different. You know, and by the time you found out the answers, you really thought what your questions were. It's like, why'd I ask that question? You know,
right.
It's like, I've got so much more to learn.
No, AI has changed everything. This, I would imagine with the data, it would completely change the way that you were able to even communicate with all of your investors, just so much more information available. And AI is changed everything. What are you excited about for investors going forward, like in the next 10 years? Give me a quick minute on what your thoughts are for the next 10 years.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for them because I feel like that we're going to get better and better about where we're drilling and how we're drilling. And, you know, I've got we have a 1031 offering that we're going to put together with drilling. And if somebody has a 1031 that, you know, you normally do real estate to real estate, but you can do real estate to oil and gas as long as it's a like kind exchange, which ours is. So if you have, you know, some people do they break up their 1031 into 3 to 5 different projects. If you want to try one of those with one of our funds, we should have it available really soon.
Okay.
But it is, you know, 1031 in oil and gas, and I liked royalty at one time, oil and gas royalty, but it's really slow in getting your money back. And then they did 1031s in royalty, but then the price to buy royalties is just so high that it's hard to make money in oil and gas royalties, even in 1031s, if you don't pay taxes. So I developed this product called 1031. It's a KDST1. Program, and it's a $15 million program. It's going to come out pretty soon, and it's going to be something that we're going to see that's going to be available the clients.
Is any of this on your website, Jay?
Yeah, we haven't done that to our website yet. We're going to really soon with the 1031, but we do have a lot of the other information on there, but yes.
Okay, cool. All right, listen.
That's a good thought. I need to add
that. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break to do a little segment that we called You Rock.
You rock. You rock. You rock. You rock. You rock.
Sorry to cut you off, Jay, but we have this segment that's really fun, and it's called You Rock, and it is in honor of my brother Terry, who passed away several years ago. And he always told me that, Mary, you rock. You just be happy. You're amazing. And he spreads such great positivity, and my goal then is to do that for other people. And so I always pick out somebody in my life that I feel is really deserving to be told how great they are, and they're doing something really wonderful. And today I wanted to recognize a friend of mine by the name of Scott Matthews, and he's of the Orlando Chamber of Commerce. And Scott, I know you have dedicated yourself to strengthening the Orlando business community. He restarted the Orlando Business Chamber and Orlando Chamber of Commerce, actually, and he's doing events every Thursday night. He's putting forth so much effort. Any of you business folks could really benefit from checking out the Orlando Chamber. So you rock, Scott. Okay, Jay, who rocks in your world?
I think my wife rocks. I really do. I mean, she's a great woman. She takes great care of me, and she is just unconditional love. Not that I've done anything that to harm the relationship. I'm a better boy now than I was back when we married, a couple of decades ago. But I just really think about her drive and her persistence. Mm. And she works in our business on the accounting part, and I when you say that, I think about her, and I think about my daughter that plays volleyball at OU. Go Boomer Sooner. How about that college baseball national championship?
Well, tell us her
going
name.
Back from the Michaela.
Michaela is your daughter, and your wife?
Yeah. Michelle.
Michelle. Michelle and Michaela, you guys rock. We appreciate you guys so much.
There you go.
Jay, well, as we wrap up today's show, I'm coming back to something that you said, is that whether you work in oil and gas or healthcare, education, technology, or raising a family, success really comes from chasing shortcuts. It comes from showing up every day, making wise decisions and learning from failure, and having the courage to keep moving when life gets difficult. We know everybody right now is going through a lot. I want to bring great people like Jay Young to the show so you can have a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of education, a lot of inspiration. And Jay, I just really appreciate you spending some time with us educating today about the oil and gas. Give us your last call out. What is up? And tell the people what you want them to know. Give us one word, one line, and we're out.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Jay Young Show talks about the word of the week, and it is about smart. S-M-A-R-T, and the reason why I said smart was because you have smart, S-M-A-R-T, smart means specific goals. You have your specific, measurable, achievable, relatable, and timely goals.
Awesome.
So everybody needs to set smart goals and do what you can to achieve those.
Amen.
Come back and tell Mary how you're doing with those smart goals every day.
Amen. Amen. Jay, thank you so much. You've been fantastic. We've been talking to Jay Young of the Jay Young Show podcast that you can find on all the different channels, and also the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. He's offered to give you a free book, so send me an email at mary@marygardner.com. And if you have any guests that you'd like to talk, or if you would like to sponsor our show, we'd love to talk to you again at marygardner.com. Thank you so much, and have a blessed week. God bless all of you.